Hey, how's it going? How you been? What's scrappin'?
The weekly scratch, motherfuckers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps, episode 69. And somebody being a little naughty there. episode 69. Probably one of my favorites, but all right, let me try to be a little mature here. Just getting back from Virginia today, Norfolk, and had USADA waiting for me. So that was a pretty interesting morning on the road, and they called me up like pretty much, yo, where the fuck's you be at? And I was like, I be's on the road, still driving back to the homes. Yo, I got these bars, man. I'm gonna just keep rapping. And I'm gonna lay it down. One day I'm gonna give you guys some real rap raw. I don't know, it might be good, it might be bad. But yeah, so had you side away from me, got back, I had to take a urine test, and we're not doing blood tests anymore. We're doing like a saliva thing, so we did that. And hopefully that's gonna be a little bit easier going forward for these guys. It's going to be a lot nicer than getting pricked with a needle every single time they, not every single time they come, but every single time they need to do a blood test, of course. So that's going to be nice. I just hope that the saliva can actually catch all the stuff that a lot of people are using to cheat with these days. So I just hope it's up with the time. So it is what it is at this point, but yeah, that was a really interesting morning on the road, taking a Tesla out for the drive. Second time taking it on a road trip. The first time was to UFC Boston for Weidman's fight against Dominic Reyes. Very interesting experience. The Tesla life, charging every couple of hours. And this time was a little bit easier. I want to say on the way down, it was a little rough because I didn't fully charge my car. And I don't want to say hiccups, but we drove the car more than we expected. So on the way back, we had to charge up. I had to charge up one more time to take the car to the fights because we weren't going to Uber. The fights were about 30 minutes away, so that it was a little tough to take an Uber because it was pretty expensive. I think it was like a $30 Uber. We're like, you know what? It's not that expensive. We all split it, but just to make things a little more convenient, let's just take the Tesla out for the drive. So we did that. And called it a day. So the way back, we had two stops. Got to make a pit stop at Chick-fil-A. And might I say, guau. It was a good time. So charged up twice. We stopped in Delaware and Dover. And then we stopped, what was the second one? Not New Jersey. Oh, no, we stopped a little before that. Like, right when we got on the road, we stopped. We charged up about 4:45 in the morning, and then we got to Dover over the bridge, and then we charged up there, and that took us all the way back home from Delaware to Long Island. So, not too bad. We had a good road trip. I drove the majority of the way going. I drove the entire trip to Virginia by myself, and the only time I got to really take a nap was when we were charging. The second time, I was like, dude, let me just get a little bit longer. And I could have just asked my friend to drive or one of the girls, but I was like, you know what? Let me just power through this. Took my nap, had my monster drink, and pushed through. But on the way back, my friend Dre, he helped out a lot for the last half of the drive. So I did the first half from we left about 4:30 in the morning, charged up. Drove until about 9 and change. Then he took over after we made the last pit stop. I was just, all I'm driving and all I'm seeing is road. Just road, just road, just road. And then when we get out of the car, all I see is road. Road, 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 road. So it was good to kind of just relax a little bit. Got to take a nap and power up. I actually got another flight. Not another flight, but I have a flight tonight to Vegas. I'm going to UFC 248. But for the most part, I'm going out there predominantly to catch up on PT. My girl Heather is going to hook it up in terms of booking me two sessions a day, either with her or Bobby. I think there's another person down there working. And they're going to really crank out on this thing and get this thing up and moving to really try to push that range of motion a little bit sooner. She wasn't very happy with the the rate of recovery, I should say, for lack of better words. So she was highly concerned, and she spoke on my behalf that they want me to get one of those top fights with either a Dominic Cruz, Frankie Edgar, or even a Corey Sandhagen. Petr Yan, I think he's definitely fighting Marlon Moraes. So I think that one's off the table. Unfortunately, breaking news, you guys heard it here first. It's not in paper until the contracts are signed, obviously, but I believe that's the fight that they're going to make main event over in Russia, Kyrgyzstan or Kazakhstan, one of those countries over there. So I didn't get the fight that I wanted again. I'm 0 for 2 at this point. 0 for 2. I'm hoping I can get one on the board. I need to get on the board with my next call out. So at this point, I'm just going to call all out all these motherfuckers, and then this way I can't miss, I guess. So I guess I was kind of always calling everybody out, but for the most part, the fights that I really, really wanted were the Henry Cejudo, my return fight, or the Petr Yan fight to solidify a true number one contenders fight. But that's not the case. It's not happening. And it's kind of shitty because I know if Petr Yan does beat Marlon Moraes, he's going to leapfrog everybody, because that would be the first guy that he beats in the top five and the actual guy who's ranked number one. So it would make sense. It's just unfortunate because that was the one that I wanted, and I kind of got robbed of that opportunity. I don't know if I could call it robbed, but definitely got shot down from that opportunity. But it is what it is. Push forward and keep going, right? I'm trying to think. Virginia is really nice. There was a lot of prime real estate that I was actually really impressed by. And the size of the house that we stayed at my friend's house, his parents' house down there, was beautiful. I want to say it was a little over 3,000 square feet, open kitchen concept, island in the middle, the chandelier lights coming down in the kitchen, the chandelier lights in the living room. They had the projector screen set up in the living room, open concept in the living room. You got the staircase. When you go into the second floor, you can look over into the living room or to the door. And then it's got like five bedrooms, I think, four or five bedrooms. All of them, I think almost all of them have a bathroom. And they have the man cave, which is like the office. But it's a pretty big space that could also be a bedroom. So it's a pretty sizable house. The backyard was nice, sitting on the lake, overseeing the lake. Then you got the sunrise and sunset right there. I'm like, man, this is something I could definitely see myself getting used to, just kind of relaxing outside with the fire pit that they got and the little small gazebo in the back. Kind of kick your feet up, some marshmallows, crackers, some chocolates, and or even sipping a couple of tequilas. I had my tequilas out there. Casamigos right now is my drink of choice. I got to try the Rocks Terramana, and I'll check out Jorge Masvidal's too. I always want to support the guys that I know or that are within the sport that I do, you know? So it's always nice to support people who are kind of like cut from the same cloth, and Jorge Masvidal definitely cut from the same cloth in terms of the fighting and MMA world. So, but yeah, man, it was a really nice house. I'm thinking like my next fight, man, if I can get all my tax bullshit squared away, hopefully I can walk away with a clean slate going into, for 2020, because we're already here. I can't say going into it. But if we can make sure that, like, the payment that I made a huge donation to Uncle Sam. And to put in perspective, I'm talking 53 large ones all in one shot. No estimated payments. I was advised not to do that. I was advised that it was better for me. And I don't think that was the case, because if I was making my estimated payments, I would have known, hey, maybe I don't put too much money into my mom's house. Hey, maybe don't buy the new car yet. Wait till the next fight. And I could be sitting pretty right now, or I could have a large enough sum of money where I could have taken that and put in a down payment in that Virginia house that I really, really am infatuated with. But we live and learn. And hopefully the next one is the best one, you know, so if I can get the win for the next one, I think I'll take care of all my tax situations in case my accountant isn't able to make that 53K work for everything that I owe, because I'm told that I might have to owe another 20. I made a lot of money last year. Good and bad problem to have. Good thing I don't squander my money on bullshit. So all my money went into a house. So it's tied up in the house. It's tied up in the car. I know the car's not really an asset, but at least the house is an asset. So that's not a complete wash. So I try to justify everything in that regards, you know, it's not like I'm taking out partying and spending on a whole lot of bullshit or just traveling and nonstop. I mean, I do travel a lot, but a lot of it is on the UFC's dime. I'm doing the right thing. And I do get my flights and stuff paid for via my American Express points, because I did rack up a lot of points with that. And good thing I do have a cousin that works at an airline, so that helps me out as well, which is how I'm flying to Vegas to go work at the UFC PI Center. So there's a lot of stuff, man, I got going on. I'm a very, very busy man, and I got a lot of shit on my table and my plate that I gotta always be cautious and concerned about. So hopefully that gets taken care of. I know I went from the beautiful houses to talking about my fucking taxes. What the fuck is wrong with me? But hopefully that gets taken care of. The next fight covers everything, and then I can have some money I put aside, and we'll make our estimated payments. So this way, the rest of the money that's left over is strictly my money after I pay my management, after I pay my coaches, and boom, good. And I know people always say, oh, you guys got to manage, you make a lot of money in one shot. I'm like, dude, you don't understand. We don't get our stuff budgeted for us. So a lot of that money, the expenses that we pay, look at LeBron James. Obviously, he's in a way different tax bracket in terms of how much money he makes. But he spent about $1 million, he said, in just recovery costs to maintain his body and keep up his health for the longevity of his career and just to maintain his health. We don't have that luxury to do that. Imagine if we did try to even attempt that. We'd be broke. We literally have nothing. And I know people say, well, if you believe in yourself, then you believe that investment will come back tenfold. Like, well, reality check, people still need to get paid, and people aren't going to cut their costs because we don't have the funds or the means to pay them. That's our problem to figure out, not theirs. You're not going to have all these high profile guys who are making top dollar for taking care of high level athletes for a cheaper price because you don't make enough money. It doesn't really work like that. I wish it did, but it doesn't. If they were just, you know, yeah, I'm a big fan, you know, I'll take care of you. It doesn't really work like that. But all right, enough of this shit. Let's test my recap of my weekend. Let's get into the weekend rewind. Some good fights. A lot of controversial situations, which always seems to happen with every single fight card. It is what it is at this point. A couple of fights that stood out to me. Sean Brady, great performance against Ismael Narduev. The kid Spike Carly versus Alon Cruz. TKO in round one, 1 minute and 25 seconds in. I did think a lot of those strikes, let me rephrase. The elbow that he threw from the clinch where he framed Alon and stabbed in that elbow right in the neck, perfect placement, legal shot. The second elbow where he went a little bit limp for a second, that one I think hit directly in the spine, which is not a legal shot. And that area is such a small mohawk area in the back. But when you have a long surface, big surface area, and you're just dropping them bows on that bitch, you're bound to hit something that's not going to be technically all the way legal. And that's just the facts. Now, people can try to dispute that as much as they want, but facts are the facts. You can't deny something like that. It is what it is at this point. Some of the punches were landing in the back of the head, I thought, or at least in that gray area. But for the most part, the ground and pound, you can't say nothing about that. And he did land that really nice head kick that kind of wobbled Cruz a bit and caused him to, I want to say, go in for looking for a takedown, which ultimately became the beginning of the end. And I do think, man, if you're going to get away with an illegal strike, and it's going to be an illegal strike that can change the outcome of the fight drastically by really, well, that can severely hurt your opponent. It's like you're almost doing yourself a disservice for not going for it. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, well, if I'm not going to get penalized for it, I could potentially get the fight over with. And there's no review of the tape because they barely do that in the heat of the moment of the fight when there's a finish going. Why not? And that's kind of the way I'm kind of starting to lean towards that. It's not like I'm saying I want to become a dirty fighter. Not saying that, but it's like if I can just swing with a little bit of reckless abandon and just go, ah, you know, you moved into it. He was stuck on the cage, elbow, went limp, And people were saying, they were commenting back to my comment on the post that they that the ESPN posted, I think it was, saying that, well, he was moving into the strike. I'm like, the guy was limp for a split second. What part of him was moving? Elbow, limp, and then another elbow, boom, throw them bowls, and then follow up with the ground and pound. I wasn't even talking about the barrage of ridiculous punches. I mean, the guy is trying to hold on, and this guy's just swinging. So at what point do you have to be in control of your weapons, as the referee tells us? Hey, these are your weapons. You're throwing them. Be careful with how and where you're using your weapons. This is what we are told. So people can say whatever the fuck they want. You guys don't know what the rules truly are, and you can keep going to quote some shit off of the internet, but what we're told and what the rules actually read are almost completely different things. So there's no real direct clarity on that, which really, really sucks. Jordan Griffin, beautiful Geechin finish. Hit it from, I believe it was half guard off of his back. Almost like a high elbow Geechin, but the elbow didn't look like it was over his shoulder from what I saw. I'm not going to lie, I did take a quick bathroom break, but I did come out and see the last part of it where he was slapping him and then eventually slapped on the choke and he put him to sleep. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. That's a ridiculous squeeze to get a submission like that out of that position. But beautiful submission, and congrats to him on getting it done like that, because that's a hard thing to accomplish. Go ahead and try. All you have to do is grab the hand and try to alleviate pressure from your trachea and from the carotid arteries, and you should not go to sleep. But I don't know if Brown just wasn't understanding that he was in danger, or probably relaxed a little bit, probably thought he was going to burn his arms out or something, but it did not go well for him, and Jordan Griffin got it done. Luis Peña over Steve Garcia, unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board. Heartfelt speech at the end, being reunited with his biological brother and family. That was really cool and nice to see. And you don't see a lot of that too often. And the fact that they were embracing like that, he doesn't even know the guy that they just met, you know? So that's true love, you know? It's like, that's a bond you never even got to experience growing up. And I don't even know what a feeling like that would even feel like, you know? So that was really cool to see. And he had a very dominating fight. Garcia did have one point where it looked like he was going to get the submission. And he did not get it. He abandoned the triangle choke to try to go for the armbar. And I'm just like, dude, you had one glaring chance to get this fight finished and over with, and you blew it. But it is what it is. Sometimes it goes like that. I remember when I fought Cody Stamann, I had him in the triangle. Then I tried to switch to the reverse triangle because we had just went over that in practice. And I'm thinking, I can get this. I'm going to pull it off and I'm going to point to Matt. I'm going to do the Diaz flex and I'm going to flip the birds. And he got out. But that would have been really cool for him to get the upset over a tough dude and highly touted opponent in like a Luis Peña. But Peña got out, weathered the storm, and continued to take his back and just beat him up from there. And then Garcia started throwing the punches and talking shit. And so I'm like, let's go. Short time left. Like, let's fucking go. And I thought that was pretty cool. So that was dope. Brandon Allen looked very dominant. TKO finish over Tom Breeze. I haven't seen Tom Breeze fight in a very long time. TKO in round one, 4 minutes, 47 seconds in. That was really shocking because Tom Breeze was a guy that I was really high on when he first came into the UFC. And I haven't seen him in a while. I don't know if it's the ring rust or the long layoff, or maybe Brandon Allen is just really that fucking good. And Allen looked very, very promising. I know he had that back and forth fight with Kevin Holland until he eventually got the finish. But for him to go out there and do it again in round one over a guy, like I said, I was considering a top prospect in the middleweight division. I thought it was a pretty impressive performance and a very impressive win for him to get. The highlight, Kyler Phillips versus Gabriel Silva, unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board. Silva looked like, I mean, he was trying to swing, but for the most part, it looked like he was just trying to get the fight to the floor. And Phillips did a great job of just teeing him up where he could tee him up. He got taken down, but was able to get back up. And I think he even warranted his own offensive takedowns and got the fight to the floor a few times. But, yeah, I can't really remember, but that was a fun fight. A lot of back and forth. And I don't even know if I can even call that back and forth. The second round, Silva got him down. It looked like he was going to control him, but then Phillips was able to get out and continue to pour on the accumulation of damage on Silva. And I thought it was almost very one-sided, but Silva did have his moments. But for the most part, it was pretty much Kyler Phillips all the way. Catchweight, Grant Dawson, he gets the win over Derek Minor, submission, rear naked choke. Another guy out of the camp from, I don't know if they call it Glory, Glory Kickboxing with, or Glory Fitness with James Krause. He's the coach over there for him, Megan Anderson, and a few other people. I do believe Zach Cummins also trains with him as well. And he's doing a great job with these guys. 2-0 tonight between Grant Dawson getting the finish and Megan Anderson getting the finish via KO over Viana. Slick, razor sharp punch down the middle, cracks her, sits her down. And the real interesting about this, because Felicia Spencer also beat Megan Anderson, but Megan Anderson played up to the crowd. She said what she had to say, called that she should probably be the next one for the title shot. And Spencer was kind of like very dull about it, which I was like, man, that could potentially hurt you and get you leapfrogged. But sometimes it goes like that if people are just really nice. And she's Canadian, so Canadians are known to be really, really nice people. Even though Felicia did look really good, she took it down. That ground and pound was brutal. Both finishes in the first round from Felicia Spencer and Megan Anderson. But Felicia Spencer holds a win and a finish over Megan Anderson, which is had me scratching my head. I'm like, yo, just say something like, I'll beat anybody they put in front of me. I already beat Anderson. If you want to run it back, you can run it back. But I should be next in line for a title shot. Something just to let them know, like, you're giving sound bites. You're giving the fans something to get excited about. And get the division also a little bit more hype. You know, because it's a very thin division as it is. And two spectacular finishes. And for them to go out there and really try to seize the moment and really hype it up, I think is the best way to go. You can see Megan Anderson there. I think that the UFC is very high on her. In my personal opinion, I think they like her look. I think she's Australian and she's got that background. She's got the backing. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if they use this win and try to leapfrog Spencer and give her the shot. And Spencer is coming off of a loss to Cyborg, but she also went the distance. I believe she went the distance with Cyborg as well and cut her in a very big cut, which looked like it might cause some trouble for Cyborg. And Cyborg is a beast. So I don't know. That's a tough division. This next one, Magomed Ankalaev. This was a very interesting scrap. Let me see if I can find it. Now, here's the thing. Ankalaev was playing... Not Ankalaev, Iwan Kutalaba was playing possum a little bit, but I never thought he was truly hurt. I'm looking at the fight right now, watching him. You know, Kutalaba comes out very, very aggressive, and Ankalaev throws some bombs. He eventually gets through and clips. He clips Kutalaba. Kutalaba is banging him with the head kick. Ankalaev checks it, throws a side kick, oblique kick to Kutalaba, pushes him back, slows him down. Now, here we go. They're going. 38 seconds in. Kutalaba throws a left jab. Ankalaev slips, rips back two punches. And then he rips the head kick. Now, the ref... Here's my thing. McDonald, I like McDonald. He's ref a couple of my fights. Ankalaev throws. He slips. Bang, bang. He catches Kutalaba. And Kutalaba pretends he's hurt. He goes, he gets, I don't know if at this point he pretended he, I don't know if that point he pretended he was hurt because he did get clipped. So McDonald was like this. Rah! He's getting ready to run over. Now, Ankalaev throws a head kick and Kutalaba throws a perfect check. Blocks it the correct way. Nothing gets through. Blocks it. Now, I don't want to say nothing gets through. The power did push him over, but he blocked it the right way. He gets both hands up there, not one where one the kick could wrap around the back of the neck. Blocks it, pushes him back. Now he's firing back. Kevin McDonald looks in the eyes. He sees that he's okay. He throws, and then he pretends he's still wobbled. He throws another kick. He checks it. He throws a hook. He shakes his head. He goes like this. And it's not even a real like a wobble. He's just like this. So it doesn't even look like he's really even hurt. And I didn't think he was really hurt watching live either. He throws a kick, he blocks it, and as he blocks it, he comes back with a big bomb overhand. He misses. Uncle Live backs up, and he does the same thing again, like a zombie. Uncle Live throws a head kick, and he blocks it again. Perfect block. He pushes off. Uncle Live, the ref is getting ready to jump in. Uncle Live is trying to throw, but now Kudalaba is winding up, throws an overhand. Big overhand. He throws up feint. He stops. Ref is looking at him. Uncle Live throws. He clips him with the left. And Kutalaba pretends he's hurt. And he's loading up. Loading up. Swings a bomb. McDonald runs in. And Uncle Live tries to throw back a right hand. Touches him. And then as he's getting ready to hit Uncle Live back, the ref is grabbing him. And he turns immediately in protest and shows like, yo, I'm fine. What are you doing? Pushes him off. And rightfully so, I would be completely pissed off about them. Like, I don't know what the protocol is. If you feel you fucked up, you could stop the fight and let it resume. I don't know. It's really tough and very, very unfortunate. But I don't think he was really hurt like that, the way they were playing it up. The way he was playing it up, I should say. And unfortunately, it cost him. When playing possum goes wrong, and I feel bad, I hope they do get to run that back, because that was looking like it was going to be a violent fight. And that's what I was hoping for. And we are now robbed of that opportunity. We don't get to witness that. I don't know. I do feel like if you think you made a mistake, you should allow the guys to resume. It's not like it was a position on the ground where you could be like, oh, I fucked up. He's standing. You could see that he wasn't hurt. I mean, the fight with Joseph Benavidez and Alex Perez, he stopped the fight twice. The first time he stopped, and then he let them resume. And then the second time, Benavidez had him hurt. He finished him that time and did not let him off the hook. And that time, the ref finally stopped the fight legitimately. But same thing, man. I don't know. I think it's kind of weird, because then you get a false sense of security that the fight's going to be stopped, and then you realize the guy's not hurt. Then it's like, well, how do you resume that? I don't know. I think you just fucking resume it. Just fucking resume it. Well, there's not much else for me to say about that, but it's tough, man. It's a thankless job being a ref. I get it. But that one, I think he truly did blow it, because you could see when he runs over and he's like, oh, he's hurt because he's moving funny. It's like, but you see his eyes. You see his eyes. Get close and be there. But don't jump in, because then you got so many of these other fights where guys are like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, where Michael Johnson and Justin Gaethje are beating the piss out of each other. They're landing a bomb, and then one's stumbling back, and he's coming back with a punch, and you see he's hurt. He's curled over, and he's taking a punch. Dan Henderson versus Shogun, and they're kind of waiting and looking at each other like, you know, he just took a hell of a bomb of a punch. Or a combination. Clearly he's hurt. But because he's not doing the wobbly feet, or because he's not wobbling his head, you decide not to stop it. But you can tell he's hurt. It's like, it's the same thing. Like, you could tell he ate a big shot, but he's clearly still fighting back. So at what point do we say, okay, he is intelligently defending himself? Yeah, I'm hurt. I'm on skates. But I'm like Kevin Lee, when he did the chicken dance, and then he comes back and he shoots and he gets the takedown. Do you stop the fight then? He's still intelligently trying to defend himself. Yeah, he's on skates, but then he's able to block and able to take an intelligent shot and continue the fight and get the win over a very tough Edson Barboza. So there's a fine line, and I understand, like I said, it's a thankless job. No one's always going to be happy. Everyone's not going to always be happy, but at some point, we got to be able to make a decision like, okay, I know he's hurt. Do I let him or her take an extra punch and see where it goes? They're trying to fire back. Do I let it go a little bit longer? I think you do. You got to let it play out. You rob us of an opportunity of training for either 6 to 10, 12 weeks for a fight to be prematurely stopped because you think the guy had enough. You think the girl had enough. That's not fair. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. Now, the main event, Davison Figueiredo, tough fight against Joseph Benavidez. I was really, really upset about that. You know, I was pulling for Joey B. I really thought he was going to get it done now that Mighty Mouse is gone out of the UFC. And it just kind of reminds me of how good Mighty Mouse truly is. And I don't want to take away the shine from Figueroa, but a couple of things. The guy missed fucking weight. And he didn't just miss weight by like half a pound. He missed weight by 2.5 pounds as far as I'm concerned. And that's not acceptable whatsoever. He has already got the advantage. And that already showed where his mental IQ is at. And I will say him and Henry Cejudo do have one thing in common, is that they both miss weight at that weight class, at the flyweight division. I know Henry was talking up a big game saying he'll come back down and get the head sheep or head, whatever he called it. But it's unfortunate because round one was shaping up so well, and Benavidez got caught in that early armbar, got out, and I thought he ended up coming back and taking the round and was doing a good job of avoiding the bombs. But I will say a couple of times he was swinging his overhand rights or his punches and really ducking his head. Second round, him ducking his head eventually landed to a headbutt, which cut Joey B. And I felt bad instantly when he was giving his post-fight speech. It's just like, it sucked to hear, you know. It was just like, you know, it feels like a nightmare. I can only imagine what it feels like three times. You would think it would be a charm, and that wasn't the case. And Figueroa landed a perfect right hand, blasted him, like landed clean flush on the chin and put him down. And there was no recovering from that. Like, that was tough. So it is what it is. Hopefully Joey B sticks around, bounces back, and he might be one or two wins away to get back into contention. Who knows? Who knows? And maybe an injury away from someone. You never know. Weird things have happened. Short notice fights. When we look at Michael Bisping, I think he's the perfect case that if you stick around long enough, those golden opportunities sometimes do present themselves. So hopefully he sticks around. Obviously, I think he makes good money fighting. I think he still enjoys it, I think. And if he does, he should stick around, make a couple more paydays. And if he doesn't make it, then you could always call it a career and still been one of the top, and if not still one of the best UFC flyweights and MMA flyweights in history of all time. Couple of instant questions from IG. I don't know if I'm going to have time for this. I'm going to do the breakdown for UFC 248 when I get to Vegas, but right now I'm going to have to wrap this up sooner than later. A couple of questions though, New York or Miami, super luxury group. I'm not sure what the question was. I don't see the question on it. I had questions from IG. New York, I guess that's the question. New York or Miami? Damn. They're both completely different. I like New York in the summertime. I like Miami in the wintertime. But if I had to pick, if I could get that year-round fun in the sun, I'm going to have to pick Miami. I'm still always going to be straight up New York, but Miami, if I could live there full-time, I think that would be a good time. What's the best memory you had growing up? Monica Batter. Best memory I had growing up, I wonder, like, around what age? I'm not sure if it's, like, when I was, like, a kid. I guess the best things would be, like, when I used to be able to go to my brother's house, because I didn't grow up with all my siblings. We were split. He was married. My dad was married with my half brothers and sisters' mom, who is now passed. RIP to her. And we would go to their houses as kids from time to time. My dad would pick us up, drop us off. We get to stay the day. Whenever we got to stay the night was like the best feeling ever, because we got to obviously hang out, bond, play a lot of video games with each other, talk shit. And we have like these karate fighting series with each other. And it was fun, man. We always had a good time. So that was always a cool part about growing up with while I was a kid. What was your hardest weight cut from Tevin Wee? Hardest weight cut would probably be when I fought Casey Johnson. Well, that one, and then the one, because I cut 6 pounds. I was seeing black. I fought for Cage Fury. It was my first title defense. I was seeing black getting out of the sauna. Never did 6 pounds. I used to hear people say they did 10 pounds, but obviously I'm a much smaller guy, 135 fighter, and cutting down as much weight as I used to cut down. I mean, I was a little bit smaller back then, not as muscle bound as I am now, and it was still drastically hard, and I didn't know how to cut weight. I would just starve myself, and that was the way we get it done. Even Rob and I, we still did it like that for a long time in our early MMA career, and even when I got to the UFC, I was still kind of doing it like that up until like the last maybe five, six fights where probably my last six fights, I was able to actually eat and do it a lot better. And the one with Cody Stamann, I actually saw, I had a sit a bunch of times coming out of the hot tub because I was so mentally, not mentally, physically drained from the weight cut. And that really beat me up, man. That was a tough one. That wasn't the Brett Johns. It was Cody. I think it was the Cody Stamann fight. That was a rough one. And good thing I had a good support team there helping me out a lot. Kudalaba and the stoppage, I think it was complete bullshit. NYC, I should say. UFC gold or Olympic wrestling jiu-jitsu gold, which is a bigger achievement from a luxury sound? Bigger achievement. I'm going to say Olympic wrestling, man. That's a whole different beast. I think it's an extremely hard task to accomplish. And I think it's one that a lot of people wish they could do. We even see a guy like Jordan Burroughs. I think perfect example. He wins it. And for him to go back, he comes up very short in comparison to how he did 4 years prior to that. And we're going to see him again this year compete for another shot to repeat the feat that he had 8 years ago. So, and every 4 years to try. You have to qualify, you have to win, you have to get, you know, there's a whole lot that goes into that. I think UFC gold is definitely cool because you get paid for it, a substantial amount of money in comparison to wrestling for the Olympics in the States. We don't really get compensated that well for that. It's kind of just like a big feat and a big achievement. But I think people who know how much goes into it is a satisfying part about the whole accomplishment in general. All right, so I'm about to wrap up right now. I'm going to try to get this up for you guys right now. I'm going to download this, and I'm going to send this out to Corey. He's going to get it up on the podcast. I'm going to have the video segment up later when I touch down in Vegas. So I'm going to try to do my best to get it up today, as in Monday. And thank you guys for always tuning in. And again, if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit. Or spin it, bow, 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 back fist, baby. Drop a comment and let me know who you guys got in the main event for Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero and Joanna Jędrzejczyk taking on Zhang Wei Li in her first title defense. Will the queen, the boogie woman, Joanna champion get the job done and get her crown back? The world may never know. But I see you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.